Easter changes everything. Jesus is alive. We have the opportunity to encounter him as we read and study his word and as we listen to that word proclaimed. So I'm looking for Sat. Where's he? He's here. There he is. He always moves around during the morning to keep you on your toes. And let's just pray for Sat now as he brings God's word to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are alive and you inspire us as we spend time in your presence reading your word. We thank you for Sat and the time he gives to listening to you. We ask now that you would speak through him into our hearts, bringing your word to each one of us today. Amen.
Thank you, Helen. Yes, it's on. Good morning. I am Sat, the minister of this church, and I welcome all those who have joined us for the first time, and I equally welcome everyone who is part of this church family. It's always a joy to see all of you during the week on Sunday morning and just ask the question, hi, how are you doing? And find how what God is doing through our lives and be a part of each other's journey. I must say, the week that has gone, I had a midweek crisis. I'm not talking about midlife crisis. A midweek crisis. And something happened and that just threw me off completely. So much so that I had to spend a whole evening in my garden and tell the family, don't disturb me. And here I am this morning, standing in front of you to serve the Lord and share his word. But why am I sharing this? Because I want our church family to become a place where we are willing to come and share so that we can pray for one another and lift each other up. You know, church is not just a place where we come and share our good things in life and put on a brave face and happy smiles all the time. But church is a place where we lift each other up. We pray for each other. And I want all of us to be regularly involved in that practice. Maybe when the opportunity is given, and even when the opportunity is not given. So at times you don't have to go in all the details, as I'm not going into the details of my midweek crisis. It's there. You have heard of it. Pray for it. Now, later during the week, we all need to be praying for one another so that God would continue to use us in the way he wants us to glorify him through our life. I might end up writing a write-up on that in a funny, humorous way of my midweek crisis, not life. But moving on, we have Alpha starting this week. Yes. Come on, that's a thing. You know, this is something that we have planned to do from almost a year ago, and we thought, let's work towards it. And finally, the week has arrived where the Alpha is going to start. We have prayed, hopefully all of us have prayed in the week gone, in our Easter break and all the things that we were doing. Maybe going to beach or cleaning the garden and just, or maybe just going to your work. But I hope you have been praying for Alpha. And let's pray that God would bring us people to come together to have a meal and maybe ask a few questions. And in that, asking of questions, God would be heard, God would be seen, and God's presence would be experienced. So the responsibility of praying is not over. It is just starting. But beyond that, as I have said, if you would like to get involved with Alpha, please do get in touch with us. If you would like to bring us a meal for one particular evening, please talk to us. If you want to bring your friend, the time has not run out yet. You can come along with your friend on this Thursday evening at 7 o'clock to see what is this all about, and maybe allow them to experience this. So you're not just like inviting others and say, you go, but the invitation is like, let's go and have a time together and see what's happening at the church. So Alpha starts this Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. Please continue to pray for all those who are involved in it and pray for people to experience God's love and a delicious meal. I'm almost promoting a meal than God, but then I think I'm a man with food. I love eating food and sharing food together because I totally follow Christ's example with this. Christ almost had a meal with everybody he met with. So, not everybody, but then there's a lot of passages that talks about Jesus having food with people. And it's lovely. It does a lot of good things. Coming to this morning's passage. The Bible portion for this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to verse 37. We have it on a screen because I did not set up this program. But I generally don't like. I would still encourage you to open your Bibles if you have on your phone. And this is what it says here in the Bible. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, and do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. There was no dye then, but Jesus is talking about naturally black. Verse 37, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. And as always, before I share what I have to share this morning, I would like to give the church family an opportunity if there's anything that you would like to share based on this passage. Yes, Margaret. Okay, Margaret. Thank you for sharing that. See, I often thought of giving it another opportunity during the sermon, but when I get into the flow, I forget things that I decide in my mind. But is there anyone else? Is there anyone who would like to share anything from the passage this morning? And it's a very small passage. Good. Moving on. I must say this. The difficulty that you have something to share, Dennis. That's lovely. Thank you. See, we all learn from one another.
Thank you. I don't know if it's random thing that you say, or what you might call it, but just the first thought, I was just thinking, it's really interesting because we do live in a world, I think, where you hear a lot of I swear on whether it's your life or someone else's life, or I always think about this, that as a Christian, not being maybe in a place where I could probably just say something, say, I'm not supposed to say that, but in my mind, I always do think about it. I'm thinking, there should be a passage in the Bible that says, we should not swear by it, or we should not do that. But it's very compromised, I think. And it's one of those things you need to watch for because it's a habit that you can end up picking up as well. But yeah, just quite interesting. So I think it's very valid because we come across a lot of people that do say these things.
So yeah, that's just my...
No, thank you, Dennis. That's lovely. When nobody has to bother and think about, that's the point Sat was speaking on this morning. So we can still repeat a double sermon. We are going through a sermon series which is titled As Everything Everywhere Matters. And we are going through the Sermon on the Mount, starting from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7. And in each section, Jesus is talking about different laws and commands that God gave in the Old Testament and setting a new standards for them. After the Beatitudes, we have seen a few commandments from the Ten Commandments that Christ has picked up, and he said, okay, this is what it has said, but now this is what it is. And he goes on, he's still doing that, even in this passage this morning. But we need to understand one thing about the law. You know, when was the law given? People of Israel, okay, going back to still further, Genesis, Adam and Eve, nation started, Noah became father, then nation started, Abraham and nation started, and they turned into a big nation, and we enter into the book of Exodus, where they are a big nation under the slavery of Egyptians. Moses comes and Moses tells Pharaoh, let my people go, and he said, no, that's not happening. So plagues happened and everything happened, and then God brought them out of Egypt. God took them to the land of Canaan, and while on their journey, God gave them the law. You know, there's always a big joke which says Moses was the first man to have a tablet and had a cloud information downloaded on it. So, and all that. And during that time, God gave them the law and all the different things. But what was the purpose of the law? Law was not given as a mean to punish people. The law was given so that people would have guidance to live a life that reflects and honors God through their life. That was the basic purpose of the law. But eventually in history, as things changed, different religious groups were formed within the Jewish society, of whom we read in the New Testament, known as Pharisees and Sadducees. They had their own interpretations of law, and instead of law becoming the guiding force for people to grow closer to God, it became the rule, a rule book, which became a mean of punishing people. So the basic purpose of the law was lost. And when we come to this passage, which we have read this morning from Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to 37, Jesus is picking up another such command that God has given. The progression that we see in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, Jesus talks about murder first, where he says your thoughts should be pure. Oh, sorry. Can I please have slide Jacob? Yep, that's my sermon. Jesus gives... Okay, 2 seconds. You can look at that. So Jesus talks about murder and talks about purity of thoughts. Jesus talks about purity of relationships when he's talking about adultery and divorce. And here, in this passage, Jesus is talking about purity of words. Now, the whole aspect of taking an oath is based on Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. It says in that passage that when a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said. So Jesus, for the first time now in his Sermon on the Mount, is stepping out of those Ten Commandments and picking up something else that has been said in the law, because that, as was pointed out, was still, which is still very much part of our life, was part of people's daily life to take an oath in the name of the Lord. It was almost demanded from people to take an oath in the name of the Lord so that people would stand by what was said. And from a guidance so that people will faithfully do what has been said, it became a rule book that if it fits in that formula of in the name of the Lord, I sat declare that I will fulfill my commitment for so and so purpose. And if I have said this and in front of few witnesses, then I have no way of not doing it. And then if I'm taken to the leaders, they would ask me, did you say it? Was it in this particular format? Was it in the name of the Lord? Oh, if it is in the name of the Lord, then you must fulfill it, no matter what. And it was the regular practice. It was a regular thing that was part of Jewish society then. But you know, there's always exception. So fine, the name of the Lord is the highest degree. And then therefore then, you know, when we read this passage, Jesus is talking about a few other bits where he talks about the throne, he talks about Jerusalem, he talks about hair. Yeah. And he talks about heaven. So devil is fine. That's the highest degree. Then there are a few other things that you can take an oath by. But it is not as strongly abiding as if you do it in the name of the Lord. So therefore then they have kind of made different offshoots of this. So you can swear by this, or you can take an oath by this if this is the case. If you can do this by this, then you can take an oath by God's chair or God's throne if it fits in this way. So they made a lot of different rules and sub-clauses and different paragraphs and conditions and circumstances and all that. And it is to this practice that was part of those people's life Christ is talking about. That you should not make an oath or swear by God's name in any situation. Now, I really like what Christ is trying to tell them in the verses from 34. And in verses 34 and 35, or 36 and 36. He is trying to say, fine, even if you take a swear or take an oath by God's throne, it still belongs to me. Even if you take an oath by the city of Jerusalem, it still belongs to me. If you take an oath by your own hair, it still belongs to me. Because you cannot have, you don't have things in control. Yes, we can have different colored hairs in this day and age, but naturally it cannot go black because that's in God's control. So it just all links back to God. You might think that that's a different thing. No, you forget the basic thing in life, that God, it is God who is in control, and it is God who owns everything. And therefore, even if you make an oath or a swear in God's name or different things, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't just put you in a different category, saying that's less compelling or that's less fulfilling because you have not taken an oath in the Lord's name. It's a wonderful passage. And wonderful background. But what does that mean to us in this day and age today? I don't know what I'm saying. I don't think so. Yeah, that is the right phrasing. I don't think so, that we are in a regular practice to take an oath or swear in the Lord's name every day. We don't go to a market or we don't see our friend every day and say, oh, in the name of the Lord, I'm telling you this. I'm going to fulfill this. We don't do that. For us, those who follow Christ, or for larger part of the community, it's not something that we do these days. So is this passage irrelevant for us? Because that's not the thing that we do? Should we just take a white marker and color that passage because, that's just not for us. You know, it's the old thing. I'm not sure if we start doing that, how many verses in the Bible we would leave there, because we can go on saying, oh, this is not right for today, this is not right for today, this is not right for today, and then we would have at maybe a few verses on a white sheet of paper. But my dear church family, the call for us here that Christ is demanding or telling or suggesting is to live a life of truthfulness. You know, let your yes be yes and no be no. Think of this. People had this idea of using God's name and then stand by it. What Jesus is saying is, put that all to one side. You need not do that. You don't need to do that. That's a wrong thing, because your words should stand as it is. What you say should be trusted. What you say should be believed. What you said, you should stand by it. It's a big shift. In a way, God, Jesus is almost asking us to replace God in that sentence structure, saying, in the name of Sat, because I'm saying, so therefore it's in my name, I'm telling, I'll do this. And Jesus wants us to live a life that is truthful, that stands true to what we say. It would be, again, really narrowing it down in today's circumstances to say that these verses are only applicable in the situation where the answer can be clear yes or no. This verse and biblical verses have a large implications of life. I often remind you that interpreting biblical verses cannot be just one verse theology. We always have to see what Bible is talking about in other passages, in other scripture passages of different books. What Bible is talking about the same thing in different passages in the Bible. And therefore, it is not on one occasion that we have to be truthful. You know, we cannot be switching our sides. Today, I'll stand by my word, but tomorrow, maybe not. Maybe next day, I'll stand by my words, and maybe then I am not. You know, Jesus started the Sermon on the Mount by talking about, we are the salt and the light. And Jesus then is going on to explain, what does that mean? You know, we spoke about a Ely Cathedral being visible from far, and then we went as far as to Cambridge and say we can see from Cambridge at times, we can see Newmarket and all that stuff. Do you remember that Sunday morning a few months ago? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is what Jesus is still talking about, that we are to become salt and light, that it is not just on an occasion that we should be okay with, right with what we are saying, but it is a lifestyle that is lived by that. If we are not consistent in our life, nobody is going to take us seriously. If we are not consistent in what we say and what we do, nobody is going to trust our words. If I get into a practice of telling you all every Sunday morning, oh, I'm going to call you this week. And the week goes. And I come and see you next Sunday. And I keep telling you, oh, I'm going to call you this week. And again the week goes. And I don't. And again I see you on Sunday. And again I tell you, oh, I'm going to call you this week. At the point you're all going to say, oh, that's just sad. He just keeps telling us, but he does nothing. And then because I do that, that is then reflected, not just in our conversations about phone call, but that is then reflected in everything I say. Why? Because Sat says it. And then he never does it. Jesus is calling us for a life that is truth, that is full, that reflects God, that reflects that we are not just things to say, we are not just saying things to say, but we are saying because we mean it. You know, my favorite passage that I can often go back to and talk about is John 17. And the basis of love that we have in our relationships. To be one. Why? Because we reflect God's love in everything that we do. You know, when Paul was helping Timothy to take up the leadership or be a leader at a church in Ephesus, he writes to him in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, to set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Living a life of truthfulness is not just a separate segment of life. It is the whole package deal. It is not just about our spoken words, but it is about how we live, how we think, how we walk with the Lord, and how is that reflected in our life. We cannot be just holy or we cannot be just pure in our words and do everything completely opposite way. And do you think people are then going to believe what we're saying? You know, as a theologian students, when we were studying theology, we were often told that it is easy to be suppliers and not the ones who apply. Because we are so much in practice of supplying the biblical sermons. You know, we supply a lot of biblical sermons. So we tell people, we must do this, we must do this, that's how we should live. But it is important that we must apply them. And as Bible-believing Christians who follow Christ, it is important that that love, that truthfulness is seen through all different parts of our life. When Christ says, let your yes be yes and let your no be no, it is a call to live a life of thoughtfulness. Thinking before saying things and committing to anything. You know, I often find myself in a situation where I send a text to someone that I sent it because I have not thought about it. And then only after sending it, I realize, oh, I should have really thought twice before sending that. It's the overflow of communication that we live in. We are constantly communicating, either in person or over the phone or by text message. And then they have developed new apps like WhatsApp and FaceTime and all sorts of different options these days. And we are constantly communicating. So therefore, then we don't take time to pause at times, to pause and process what I must say in this situation. You know, one of the things that I've said on the screen is it feels almost guilty to say no to people these days. And it just feels as if we might be offending someone by simply saying no. The world that we are living in is putting that picture in front of us, saying, oh, but saying no is not the right thing to do. What would that person think? How will that? What if that person get offended? What if that person feels bad? But it is fine to say no. But please don't come after today's service and say no for everything that you're doing in the church. That is not applicable today of the church context. But we need to be thoughtful in our communication. We need to be thoughtful in what we say and how we say it. At times it is okay to say no. At times it is okay to say yes, even when you have to, as we would read in or go further in Sermon on the Mount later, in Sundays after this, where Christ says, if you have to walk with another mile for a person, please do it. Because we do that, why? Because we are reflecting God's love. And do it. If you say yes, don't say yes and say, oh, now I will have to do it. Because I couldn't say no. Ask yourself, if I'm saying yes, if I'm committing myself to this, am I in a situation and am I willing to stand by it? Don't say yes and make it a burden for yourself and put yourself in a place where that does not make you happy. If you're in a situation where you cannot say no, and if you say yes, ask God to give you strength to do it. Because we are meant to stand by one another. We are meant to help each other. We are meant to walk with each other. Don't say yes and grumble. Don't say yes and then say, oh, that is so difficult. That is such a big burden. Say yes, ask God's help and do it. That's what Jesus is talking about. Let your yes be yes and let your no be no. Let your commitment to certain things be full 100% commitment. And if you're not committed, simply just say, sorry, I cannot do it. Let your assurances of prayers be 100% commitment, where you say to, if you tell someone, oh, I'm going to pray for you today, let your commitment be your commitment. Just don't say it because it's a nice thing to say in that at that particular time. And prayer is not the most difficult thing in life. But I truly believe prayer is the most simple and yet most powerful thing for us to do. God doesn't require format. There's no pro forma that we have to follow. There's no form that we have to follow. There are no specific words that we have to use. And yet many a times we say this to people, oh, I'm going to pray for, I'll pray for you during this week. I'm not going to ask how many of us do that. But we get so busy that we forget. Don't do that. Be thoughtful in our communication. If you're not sure at times when what to say, just take a pause. It's fine. Just don't say things because you must respond to it. Just don't say, let's not say things because it is a right thing to say or nice, not right, nice thing to say. God wants us, when Jesus is telling us to live a life that suits him, to be a salt and a light. And when he says, let your yes be yes and no be no, he wants us to think be thoughtful of what we are saying. You know, there's another passage that Jesus talks about where he talks about a builder. And when he says, in fact, that passage talks about cost of discipleship. And when he says, if who among you would start a building project and without seeing if you are able to do it or not, take time to see if you would be able to do what you're saying or not, or what you're saying. Ask God. Sometimes we'd say things without even thinking. Maybe it's just something that we have heard from someone. Maybe sometimes we just say things that are not even true, but just puts us in a better place. You know, James wrote a beautiful passage on tongues, or on tongue, not speaking in tongues, but our tongue, actual physical tongue. In James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And this is what it says in that passage. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Tongue. It helps us to speak, utter the words. You know, the other day we were thinking about Samuel. Now he's saying dada and all that stuff. But he has not yet learned the words which needs twisting the tongues, you know. And we were saying he's just developing that skill. If we don't have a tongue, we won't be able to speak. And therefore then James is talking about the tongue that we have. And if you're not thoughtful in what we are saying and how we are saying, we can build people's life or we can completely destroy someone's life. You know, these days talking about bullying is a big thing. And there are a lot of things that are being done to avoid that. But if you have ever experienced any sort of bullying, you know how it leaves you. It's not the best thing to happen to anybody. I keep saying that for me to come at the front and talking from the front is the place where I'm really uncomfortable. I'm not most relaxed here. And I see God's grace for me to be standing here and sharing his word, but that's not naturally me. I still at times look at the mirror and think, oh, that's me again. But why am I sharing this? Because when I was growing up, I was often mocked and I was often bullied for a lot of different things, one of them being my looks. Not the most handsome hunk ever they have seen. I was called a man walking t-shirt because I was so thin back then. Now it's a different story. But words spoken can destroy people. So when Jesus is preaching this sermon, when Jesus is talking from the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is telling us that we are meant to be a salt and light, Jesus is telling us to be thoughtful in everything that we do, even when we speak. You know, to hurt someone or to destroy someone's confidence, you don't need a whole sentence. One word is enough. And that can be destroying. My dear church family, Jesus says, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. Are we involved in gossip? Workplace gossip. you know, they say water coolers back then. I'm not sure if we still have water coolers. Was a great place to know what's happening in the office because that's where all the gossips happen. Are we involved in gossips? Do we find times where we add extra details, knowing full well that that's not exactly how it happened, just because it makes us sound cooler, it makes us look better? Is the way we speak differs from person to person? Or because person's wearing good, nice clothes, let me talk to that person really well. If a person is not really that well, let me not talk to that person in that way. Do we use swear words? It's a very common style these days. You watch any series, you watch any movies, it's just becoming a normality of life. And that's how media affects our thoughts. And we think, oh, that's fine. That's okay. That's the language on street, so I must, like, what's wrong in that? My dear friends, we are to live a life that reflects God. And if anything, the answer of any questions that I've just asked is yes. Can I just ask you to reflect on the fact that we are called to be salt and light? And I'm repeating that this morning because that is really important. You know, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone, or you may know how to communicate." As always, we can always say, "Oh, what a beautiful sermon." But here's the question. What do we learn from this? Before I get into all those three words up there, I would like to give an opportunity. What do we learn from this? What is the learning for us? You're free to share. This is an opportunity for church family because this is how we learn together. Is there anything particular that you'd like to say?
There's another scripture that talks about guarding our mouths, and I think it encourages us to be really careful what we say and how it affects other people. I think we've all had people who have said cruel things about us and who've really deeply hurt us, so it's very important to sort of have that conversation with God at all times. Is what I'm going to say actually bring anything good in this situation or not? And sort of be very mindful of how we speak.
Thank you.
One of the things I was reflecting on is, I'm going to blame culture and say how culturally hard it is to say no, especially when you're British, you know, like to find polite ways of turning things down and actually... Like, for me, I find that difficult, especially not lying. You know, like, if white lies are fine with you, then it's a lot easier to get out of things politely. But if you don't want to lie, then when people say, oh, can you do this, can you do that? You know, I find that really hard and thinking, actually, yeah, to be obedient to God, I need to find better ways of saying no that are truthful and kind. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yes, Margaret.
If I see anybody swearing in one of the programs,
Okay, it's fine, Margaret. Is it okay if I later? Yeah, thank you.
I'm sorry about
that. No, you're not. You should not be sorry. It's fine. Thank you, Margaret.
Okay.
You're always welcome to share what you're thinking. It's fine. Sorry, I'll just go, Douglas, and then I'll come to you, Graham.
A verse that really speaks, and I thought about it while you were speaking, was it's Proverbs 4:23, which says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it."
Thank you, Douglas.
I think what I'm thinking sort of follows actually from what Douglas, you've just read there. When we're saying yes or when we're saying no, we're saying those words to somebody else. And it's about the relationship we have with that person. And we want to reflect the relationship that God offers us, which is loving and truthful and supportive and encouraging and accepting. And we want to be able to reflect that sort of relationship with the people that we are sharing those words with. And the challenge is to be authentic, to be loving, to be caring, to be truthful. And I think that's where the challenge comes from. And as you mentioned, in white lies, to get out of embarrassment or to change something is just deception. It's not truthful. And we all are deserving of truth relationships in the way that we live. So it just makes me think we just need to be truthful and honest and respectful of the people we're saying yes or no to.
Thank you. You have anything to say? You know, when I was writing this sermon, I had different words that are coming to my mind. I thought, let me finish my sermon with the word hi, which means honesty and integrity. But I thought, that doesn't still fit right. So then, therefore then, there's a word net. And I want us to leave this morning by saying that let's put net around our communication, where N stands for needed. Ask yourself, is this needed? Is there a need for me to say it? Is there a need for me to say it the way I'm saying it? Is there a need for me to just say it now? You know, sometimes delayed communication is a good communication. You don't have to say things then and there. Ask if what we are saying is encouraging. Is it building someone else by the way we are saying it? I had a long struggle deciding the word for tea. You know, I was not sure should it be truthful, trustworthy. Then I had words like terrific, toasty, and whatnot. But whatever I'm saying, can that be trusted? You know, because that reflects what Jesus is telling us. Let your yes be yes and no be no. So my dear church family, small passage, things that we might look at and say that is not applicable for us today. But when we go out, when we communicate with people, when we speak, let's put a net around our communication and ask yourself these questions. Is it needed? Is it encouraging? And is it trustworthy? And let the love of God be seen and experienced through everything that we do. Let's pray. Lord, in this world of over-communication, we are often communicating things and saying things that are not needed at times, Lord. At times, we really don't know how to say things that are needed to be said, but we feel pressured of not saying them. Lord, and therefore we come before you and ask for your help, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would guide us. Give us wisdom when it is needed, Lord, to say things in the right way. things that are said to build each other's life. Things that are said to support each other, Lord.
Thank you, Sat. I would encourage you after the service, if something that Sat has spoken about there has landed in your heart and is a challenge, speak to your neighbour, come and find me, come and find Sat, come and find somebody so that we can pray with you. Because these are not things, we're not asking for New Year's resolutions. These are not things that we can do in our own strength. We come alongside the living Lord Jesus, and his life in us is what brings the transformation. His Holy Spirit flowing through us brings new life. And so let's encourage one another to be in line with God, in line with his Spirit. Life is worth the living because Jesus lives. We go out into this week with that. It's worth inviting people on Thursday to Alpha. It's worth praying for people to come along. It's also worth gathering together. Jesus lives, and with church will gather together those who are members on the 29th on our church meeting to look at what we're doing as church and how we are serving God in our neighbourhood. So I encourage you to keep that in mind for Wednesday the 29th of April. But if I could have that number 3 slide up there. This is a prayer that if anybody uses Lectio, you will be familiar with. But it's our commitment. I'll give you a moment just to read the words in your head. And then we're going to say them as we go out living Jesus' life in this week ahead. And so together. Father, help us to live each day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help us to give ourselves away to others, being kind to everyone we meet. Spirit, help us to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all we do and say. Amen. Amen. Grace be with you through this week. Take time to pray with each other, chat about what you've been learning.